Good morning, listeners. NBC representatives in London and Berlin are ready now with their regular early morning reports from overseas. We'll hear from them in just a moment, and then from Washington, where Earl Godwin will bring us the news from the nation's capital. And now, we take you to London.
This is London at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The scene of the Finnish peace talks, it is now reported, are shifted to Moscow. The Council of Ministers met in Paris this morning under President Lebrun. Mr. Daladier gave a general review of the diplomatic and military situation, dwelling specially on Finland. It is reported that there is a note of optimism in Paris today with regard to Finnish resistance, which France is willing to support, which was not felt there yesterday. It's reported here this morning that Moscow claims capture of more islands in the Bay of Vipuri. The swift development of the possibility of peace talks between Finland and Russia, or the possibility of some peace between Finland and Russia, holds attention here today. From rumored reports, the proposals were likely to the official admission that they had been received was a matter of, well, of hours. Details of the Russian proposals are not available, but they are said to be stiffer than the terms which the Finns refused before Russia invaded Finland. All that can be said at this moment is that the situation now created is viewed here as serious, as extremely serious. The visits of ex-president Svinhufvud to Berlin and of Herr von Ribbentrop to Rome have aroused an interest perhaps more anxious than anything this war has caused. Herr von Ribbentrop is said to have left Berlin for Rome by special train this morning. With him are the economic ministers of the economic minister of the Reich, the head of the press bureau, the legal advisor to the foreign office, and various other officials. Observers in all capitals are giving their views. Some hold that Germany will make it clear in Rome that she wants no foreign intervention in the Finnish situation. Others see a move to safeguard for Germany shipments of the Swedish iron ore, which have long been claimed to be a vital necessity to Germany's successful continuation of the war. French writers state, without mincing their words, that Germany has openly threatened Sweden over this iron ore matter and will involve both Sweden and Norway in the war rather than risk losing these ships. Berlin, in the meanwhile, announces that Herr von Ribbentrop's visit to Rome is a normal step in the relations between the two countries. Marshal Goering's paper is quoted as saying, however, that he has gone to discuss burning questions of world politics. Rome is credited with considering that the visit will have vast political consequences. Officials there are reported as thinking that it may produce results as fateful as Herr von Ribbentrop's visit to Moscow last summer, and this gave the Berlin-Moscow pact. In some quarters here, there is a suggestion that the German foreign minister's trip will be concerned with the Italian protest over the blockade stopping coal deliveries from Germany. Whatever the real purpose of the visit, it seems obvious to any observer that Herr von Ribbentrop would not overlook the feelings which this coal question have aroused. There is a strong feeling here, although no official announcement has yet been made, that I know of, that strong action should be taken, and taken quickly, to give Finland and her neighbors a picture of Allied intention, so far lacking. France has stated categorically that if Finland calls for aid, France will give it. It is unlikely that she would make such a statement alone. It is safe to assume that what one of the two Allied powers does or offers to do reflects the views of both. It is no exaggeration to say that London and every other European capital is seething with tension. Now, there are observers who read into these quick developments high-pressure methods to induce the frame of mind likely to consider general peace proposals. For instance, the stopping of leads of the Italian army a few days ago. If anybody is bluffing, my guess is the bluff will be called. Just as fighting goes on in Finland now, there is nothing to indicate that there's any idea of settling this thing on terms which do not accomplish the ends already enumerated by Britain and France. I return you now to America.
Back in the United States, ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment we'll take you to Berlin. But in the meantime, here's a bulletin from the Associated Press that reads, "Activity on the Finnish battlefields appeared to confirm the report that we've heard that the Battle of Viipuri continues with unabated fury, with no official information on the trend of the fighting." And now for more news, we hear from our representative in Berlin.
Hello, NBC. This is William C. Kirker calling from Berlin. Last night's big sensation was the announcement that the Finnish ex-president Svinfut had arrived in Berlin. However, contrary to any circulating rumors, Svinfut has not seen any of the German officials. Instead, he moved into the Finnish embassy here in Berlin and refused to see any representatives of the press. Of course, the more speculating correspondents immediately tried to probe into this almost secret visit of the Finnish official to the capital of the Reich. However, all that could be learned is that the ex-president is staying in Berlin for 2 days only and intends to go to Rome. Rome is slowly getting to be the headquarters for important conferences between German and Italian diplomats. Herr von Ribbentrop, the German Minister of Foreign Affairs, and his entourage of officials have left Berlin this morning by special car for Rome. Ribbentrop is expected to stay in Rome for several days in order to confer with Mussolini and Graziano. Interesting is that this get-together of the Axis partners occurs at a time when the world at large anticipates big spring military undertakings to happen within the near future. In editorial comments upon this official state visit, German papers stress that the visit of the Reich's foreign minister is a new link in the continuous German-Italian exchange of opinions on matters concerning the welfare of both people. Again, they emphasize the, quote, harmony of the Rome-Berlin axis, unquote, so as to refute any rumors of supposed slackening of relationships. The Essener Nationalzeitung, which is known to be the official paper closely connected with Hermann Göring, states this latest conference in Rome has come about at a period when three occurrences of great political importance hold the attention of the world. For one, the emissary mission of Mr. Sumner H. Wells, which has not yet been completed, and then the Russian-Finnish conflict, and for another, the question of the British seizure of German coal shipments to Italy, which is still a question of vital importance. The Essener Nationalzeitung goes on to state that Europe has now entered the last decisive act of political developments before the commencement of the second phase of the war, and that the Rome conference between German and Italian officials is indicative of the close coordination of the political aims of the Italian and German governments. The article asserts, and I am quoting, "Germany and Italy will not permit the reactionary Western democracies to interfere with the creation of a new European order, and we know that neither England nor France will be bearers of this new Europe." End of quote. Peculiar thing about the visit of Herr von Ribbentrop to Rome is that the German papers say it is the first conference since Graziano conferred with Hitler and Ribbentrop at the end of the Polish campaign. However, none of us can recall any such visit to Berlin. Of course, neutral observers here in Berlin are speculating just as to the meaning of this surprise conference, and it is rumored that all questions of importance in the future game upon the European chessboard will be discussed. It is also rumored that there are decided signs of German efforts to bring about an understanding between Russia and Italy, aiming at a future trade agreement and a patch-up concordance of the differences of political ideals of Russia and Italy. Secret conferences are indeed going on in this respect. However, at the time, no particular facts are obtainable so that this assumption may be definitely substantiated. Interesting is that today's Völkischer Beobachter, as the only German paper, mentions that Herr von Ribbentrop sent a telegram to Molotov, the foreign minister of the Soviets, congratulating him upon his 50th birthday. Big things are developing at the moment, and the stagnant scenery of the present conflict in all likelihood will assume an entirely different aspect within the near future. In spite of the fact that today's communique of the German High Command reports no activities on the Western Front, stating that during successful reconnaissance flights over British and French territories, only one German plane did not return to the home base, it is important to note that General von Brauchwitz, chief of the armed forces of the Reich, is visiting the troops at the West Wall, inspecting the various formations and taking part in several maneuvers. Hello, NBC. This is William C. Kirker returning you to the National Broadcasting Company.
You have just heard from NBC representatives in London and Berlin. These early morning reports from Europe come to you each weekday morning at this same time. And now for the news in our nation's capital, as reported by Earl Godwin, we take you to Washington.
Good morning, and here in Washington, there is no way that the average observer can really tell whether or not this government is going to stick a neck out and try to intervene or even suggest anything between Russia and Finland. Officials here do not affirm or deny, but seriously, they do not close any doors on any possibilities. And that's about all you can say truthfully. Meantime, this blessed country is about to be thrown into one of the noisiest political campaigns in years, and they're making political medicine plenty right now on Capitol Hill. The Democrats, notorious for fighting among themselves, split apart in the Senate over the Hatch Act or the Pure Politics Law. Time was when the Democrats were all pure because they'd been out of power so long they just hadn't any way of being anything else but 100% white and unsullied. But today, with so much power in state and nation, it grieves many of them no end to see the Hatch Bill making it a crime for a government employee by the hundreds of thousands taking active part in political campaigns. Reason is that since Andy Jackson's day, party leaders relied on federal office holders as main cogs in party machines. But since the outburst against the use of the Army of Relief Workers in party politics, there's been an uprush of purity in Congress, especially among the Republicans. Senator Hatch's bill, in which Democratic Senator Shepard of Texas and Republican Senator Austin of Vermont had a heavy part, keeps federal employees out of party organization work. They can vote, they can contribute, of course, but that's about all. Now the Senate is trying to extend the act, and the Senate is just about split apart on the thing, and Alvin Barkley, Senate Democratic leader, has threatened to resign if they force him to call a caucus and bind the Senate Democrats into one vote. 300,000 farm leaders in 22 states at meetings and dinners last night heard the President, Jim Farley, and the Secretary of Agriculture, Wallace, extol the New Deal farm program in what were termed non-political speeches. But be that as it may, there was a very forceful farm argument also being cooked up in the Senate yesterday, where a committee prepared to add $300 million to the farm aid measure. This would about wipe out the cuts in the farm bill made by a heartless and economy-minded House of Representatives. And Congresswoman Mary Norton, Labor Committee Chairman in the House, pins back the ears of the Smith Committee for its drastic proposals to tear down the National Labor Relations Board and revise the labor law. Mrs. Norton believes in the board as it stands and in the law as it operates. Rather than have the Wagner Act and the National Labor Relations Board torn down, rebuilt, and put out as a new paint job, she's willing to close her labor committee doors, pigeonhole the proposed report, and take the labor issue to the country as a campaign matter in a presidential year. And thus, a woman may have the last word on Capitol Hill in one more issue that has split the Democrats open with a chasm as wide as the Grand Canyon. And Earl Godwin says goodbye, and that's all from Washington this morning.
With this report of Earl Godwin speaking from Washington, we bring to a close this quarter-hour program of news and observations by NBC's representatives in Berlin, London, and Washington. This is the National Broadcasting Company.